So holding now in Bereshit, the second year, in Parshat Vayera. So we said, the Pasuk says, Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, he gave him a bracha. Ki barach abarechecha, I will bless you. V'harba harbe etzarecha, k'chokbe ha-shamayim, v'chachor al-sfat hayam. So the Bereshit asks, why is the double terminology? Ki barach abarechecha, v'harba harbe. So he explains that we know in everything there's physical and spiritual. What you see on the outside, what you see on the inside. There's the fifth. So the one bracha Hashem was giving was on the outside, on the physical. And another bracha was on the spiritual, on the inside. Which means, first of all, there will physically be more people. In quantity, Hashem is telling him there will be bigger quantity, be a lot of Jewish people. Also, he's also talking about internally, also each Jew will also be considered to have a very great quality. So it's two brachas. One is on the quantity and one's on the quality. And that's why it says a double lashon. I'm going to give you two brachas. And therefore I'll multiply you in quality and in quantity. Like we know that the Chazal that say that there was a lady in Mitzrayim that she had 600,000 people in her. Who is that? The mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says Moshe Rabbeinu is equal to 600,000 Jews. No, he was Tim and Klai Yisrael on a scale. It's equal. The Neshama Moshe Rabbeinu, Neshama everybody else is equal. That's how I remember it. The Bereshit also brings another example for a pasuk at Shmuel that says Shiv'im Elef Ish. But we see that was the bracha. The bracha was Hashem giving in quality and in quantity. And why is the bracha specifically that should be the sand of the seashore? So the Bereshit explains that just like the sand of the seashore protects the world, that the water shouldn't overflow, even though the sea level is higher than the world. So too, the Jews are the ones who protect the world. That's what he brings from the Gemara Ta'anit on Gimel Amud Bet. Now, just like we said, there's no physical and spiritual. Right? Everything has the external and the internal. So too, every single mitzvah has what we can see externally and there's internally. Like by Mitzvah Shabbos, there is the part of Shabbos that we do, keeping Shabbos, the chitoniyot Shabbat, what we do externally, which means we have pleasure that you can see on the outside, that the body enjoys, like eating and drinking, that we do extra that we don't do during the week. It's also the resting that we do. That's all the physical, that's all external. Right? However, there's also internals. Also, hapnimiyut Shabbat, there also is internal, which is that our insides get enjoyment, right? We get an extra nefesh, ruach, and neshama every Shabbos, right? We get extra nefesh, ruach, and neshama of the holiness of Shabbos, right? That's all concealed, that's all hidden, it's all spiritual. And this is why the Bereshit says that we say at the end of L'chadodi, we say, bo'i kala, three times. Why do we say it three times? And he said you're supposed to say it two times out loud.
Two times.
Right. So some people say two times. Right. But he said you should say, he's rereading that, you should say.
Spartans say it three times?
Yeah, we say three times. But he's saying also you should say it two times out loud and one time quietly. Oh. Why? Because the two times we say out loud is referring to the way we honor Shabbos and we do external acts. Like one is eating and drinking, which is the acts like kumva asei. Like we just talked about in the Gemara today, kumva asei, you get up and actively do. There are certain acts that that's one time we say boikala. We're inviting the Shabbos kala, and we're, so to speak, we're accepting on ourselves to do the acts of Shabbos, the ones we get up and do. And then there's also the type of actions which we sit back and do nothing, we rest. So that's what we speak out two times boikala. We're inviting the Shabbos queen. One time out loud, we speak it out, referring to the acts that we're going to do, actively do, we're going to get up and do, we're going to enjoy Shabbos, we're going to eat, we're going to drink. And then another time is what we actively do by just sitting and resting. Those things we sit and do, we don't do the 39 forbidden labors. That's the second time which we say out loud. So both of those we say out loud because those are external. Then one time we say boikla quietly because that's referring to the extras that are nefeshkas, the insides, the neshama gets on Shabbos, the extra nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Also, he says, another pshat why can we say boikala three times, two times out loud and one time silently, is because we know on Shabbos we should try to keep Shabbos, right, with our mouth, with our thoughts, and with our speech. With our speech, with our thoughts, with our actions. Right? So even though la'alacha, we know that it's you're allowed to think matters of weekday, you're just not supposed to speak them out. But of course it's better even not to even think of all the business related items that might disturb us. Right? So he says, therefore, why are we saying Ba'i Kala three times? We're inviting the Shabbos Kala. He's saying one is we say it out loud is referring to the speech which is external. Another one is referring to the actions which we do for Shabbos, which is also external. The third one, which we say silently, is referring to the thoughts which are internal. So again, say that's another shot why you say it three times, twice out loud, one time silently. So twice out loud, one's referring to the we're supposed to rest in speech. We're not supposed to speak like we speak during the week. That we have to do. Also, we're not supposed to act like we act during the week. We're supposed to act in a certain way. That's what we say it out loud. The third time we say it silently is referring to what we have silently inside, internally, our thoughts. They're also supposed to try, even though Allah says mutter, it's better, of course, not to think thoughts of weekday thoughts of business and different things that might bother us and take us away from our relaxing. Right. Now, he also brings from the Chida something very important, that he says that the word bo'i three times is numerical value to ahava, to love. Bo'i is, how much is bo'i? Beis aleph yud. Beis is 2, aleph is 1. Yud is 10, 13. Right, so 13 is really, each time, is really ahava. How ahava to love is, how much is that? Also, 13, aleph, hey, base, hey, is 13. And why do we say three times? He says, to tell us, we have to now, once coming Shabbos, love everybody in our thoughts, in our speech, and in our actions. We have to try to love everybody and try to get away from fighting. Like he can explain soon, there's a special Yitzhahara that comes Arab Shabbos to make fights. Special Yitzhahara, that's his job. Comes every Arab Shabbos to make us fight. He's going to bring down the Gemara soon. There's a special Yitzhahara. So we have to work especially hard. And when we're saying boy kala, why are we saying it three times? We're trying to bring in all the aspects of love. And we're trying to say we want to accept ourselves loving in action, in speech, and in thoughts. And the Chida says, if they were more about etzba, that in the time for Mincha and Erev Shabbos, it's a dangerous time for machlokes between man and wife. And the Yitzhahara works very, very hard to make a fight. And a man who fears Hashem, he'll try to overcome this Yitzhahara and not to arouse any machlokes, and other rabbis should try to find peace. So the Chida, who's obviously a big Kabbalah, says it's a special Yitzhahara that comes as a special time for machlokes, Erev Shabbos on Friday afternoon. Ready, it's coming from the time of Mincha ready. No, it's ready for afternoon. It's ready Friday afternoon. Now, Ben Shlai says something interesting. You should know. Veda. A person, ki yaneh kol adam ha'osek ta'atam riva mishto, any man who fights with his wife, or banav, or his children, or mishatav, or his helpers, vadai nir ino, certainly it seems to him, shahadin imo, he's right. He for sure thinks that justice is with him. He's screaming, they're doing wrong things Friday afternoon. They're not moving quick enough. They're being lazy. This is wrong. Of course, I'm right. I'm in charge of the house. It's my job to scream and tell everybody, put them in their place. And he thinks I'm supposed to. It's befitting to fight all the wrongs that came out in the house. This guy's not sweeping. This one's not doing this. That's not ready. This is not ready. I'm supposed to scream and fight and make fights. The truth is, because anyone who has brains in their head, they should understand, if any mistake happened, from any mishap happen from their wife or from their children or from their helpers, it's not them doing it. It's not them. It's the satan. It's Sahara's actions. Sahara comes into your house. He acts like the wife or the kid or the helper, and he makes them do something wrong. So don't scream at them. It's especially Sahara that comes down. So don't scream at them. It's a special Friday afternoon Sahara that comes in, that makes the mishaps, makes this thing spill, makes different things happen. In order to ribu madom etai, he just wants to make fights. If the Yitzhar is coming into them and making them do this mistake, how in the world do you expect them to overcome? It's not their fault. You're screaming at them for nothing. They didn't do it. You're thinking they did it. Hashem made this, especially Yitzhar that comes Friday afternoon, that makes people make mistakes in order to test you, not to get angry. So you're going to get angry at them. So if you have brains in your head, you should realize that there's a special Yitzhar Friday afternoon. Hashem sends a special test for you Friday afternoon. It's a special test that you get Friday afternoon. So don't scream at them. It's not them, he says. It's not them. It's a satan in them, this evil force in them that made them do it. Hashem made this evil force make them do it. So don't scream at them. He said, if you have any brain in your head, don't scream at them. He says, you think someone can fight with the Yitzhar? If the Yitzhar comes into a guy forcibly, what, you think they could? Don't blame them. He said, who could say I could overcome the Yitzhar? Therefore, every person should understand. We see things going wrong in the house, especially Friday afternoon. Don't blame your wife and everybody else and start fighting with them. However, you should understand what we're saying now. Ki emesi, because it's true. And be quiet and don't fight with them. And don't get upset. And then it'll be good for you in this world and in the next. So, first of all, don't fight Friday afternoon. Try because it's not easy. It's a hard test. So you have to try very hard to stay calm and collected. Now, he said in the next paragraph that if Ish HaMaskil, a person who understands, if Kach Enav, he should open his eyes. Go look in the Gemara. He brings down a story from the Gemara in the Daran, Daf, Salafel, Amal Alf, the last page in Perek. I'm going to open up the Gemara because Perek, Rebbe Yehuda, the ninth Perek in the Daran. What's the story here? It says like this. Ahu Barabel, there was a person, so I'm going to read the story from the Gemara because it brings that, he doesn't bring down the same words, I don't know why. Ahu Barabel, the Salik La Yisrael. There was a guy who was a Babylonian resident. He went up to Yisrael, he made Aliyah. Nasir, so he married a woman, but she was Israeli. Now they didn't really speak the same language. That's the only problem. Now he married a lady, a woman. Amar, he told her, Bishili, cook for me, today tafi, two lentils. So she thought literally, he meant cook for me a little bit something, you know, a little bit lentils. She thought he meant it literally. So Bashila let Trey Talfi, she cooked him two lentils. Ratakala, he got very upset at her. He got upset at her. He lost it. The next day, he says, she doesn't understand my language. I'll tell you to make a lot. Make, you know, I'm telling her make tons. Maybe she'll make a lot. The next day, Amarla, Bashili griva, makes me griva, which the amount is enough for a bunch of people. A few people can eat that amount. What happened? She agreed, so she made it for him, a mouth for a bunch of men. So here he wasn't so happy, he didn't get upset. At least he had enough food to eat. That's what the Farshim says. He didn't get upset. But they were still not, you know, on the same page. Amalei told her, Zili Aitili Tre Butini, go buy for me two butini, which in Babylonia meant melons. Go get me two melons. Azla, she went for Aitila, she brought a Tre Shraga, two candles. Because in Eretz Yisrael, the word similar to butina is like a candle. So she thought she's supposed to buy two candles. So then he was very upset at her. So he got upset. He told her, Amr, he told Gzili, go Tabri, go break them. Go break them at the head of the entrance to the house. So he told her, she said, Al Reisha Debab, which means at the head of the bab, at the head of like the doorstep. So she thought, I was supposed to break them on the head of the rabbi whose name was Bava Ben Buta. That's what she thought. So what happened? Abba Yatsi Baba Mabuta, Abba, the Kayan did Dahindina. Baba Mabuta was actually in the middle of a dintara between two different people. He's sitting on his bestin, judging two people. This lady storms in. Azza, she comes in. Vitabrit Yaton, she breaks the two candles over his head. She bangs them on the head, she breaks his head. She breaks the candles. She broke the candle. Amarla, so he told her, Mahadin, she said, what are you doing? So Amarla said, Kach, so you didn't bother. This is my husband commanded me. I'm just trying to be a good wife. So even though he didn't get upset at her, right? That's the Gemara also trying to prove that the difference between her husband who did get upset, that he ended up causing her to break candles on the Gadol Adar's head, the Baba Buta did not get upset. Went to Baba Buta, and he told her he stayed calm. And he said, you did the will of your husband, and even though it was a crazy thing to do, you went and did it anyway. Hamakom Yotzimi Mech, Hashem will bring from you Shnei Banim, two sons, Kebaba Buta, two sons like me. It's an interesting bracha, but he's a God elder. He said, you should have two sons like me. That's the story. So what's the Benishchai bringing the story for? He's telling us that we see the difference of someone who gets upset and someone doesn't get upset. We see the difference between Baba Buddha and this guy. This guy got upset. He ended up causing his wife to break candles on the God elder's head. And that was, he kept getting upset. But Baba Buddha didn't get upset. He stayed very calm. He also brings another Gemara from Gittin to bring out this idea that the special Yitzhahara that comes out to a person's house every Arab Shabbos, especially Yitzhahara that comes on every Arab Shabbos. What's the Gemara in Gittin? The afternoon Beis Amidah says, Bahadach Ishi, there were people that the Satan every Friday night would make fights. Every Friday through Friday night they would make fights. The Yitzhahara would come and make fights. They'd have such fights every single week. So what happened? Ikla Remeir, Lahasam Shloshavas. Remeir came for 3 weeks. Said, you know what, 3 weeks in a row, I'm going to try to make peace. He came, he spoke to them, Yosha, Bayes, therapy. 3 weeks in a row, he came to them to talk to them, make peace. After they had peace three times, they heard the Satan scream out, Vai da apke Remeir lahu in the garment, basically. Woe is to the person who Remeir chased him out of the house. So we see there's a real Yitzhahar, there's a real like demon, a real thing in the house. They used to stay there. Every week they used to fight again. It was a real thing. Like we saw for the Chidah. There was an extra Chidah explained to us. It's a special Yitzhahara that comes into the person's house. Erev Shabbos. It's a special. That's the way it is. It's a test from Hashem. It's a test. Therefore, someone who's meticulous and he makes fights, then he's actually strengthening the hands of the Satan. That's what the Petit Chai says. If you keep on fighting Erev Shabbos, actually your Satan's in your house. He came to visit you, and he came, you're tested. If you fight, then you're strengthening the Esatim, which we don't really want to do. So, what happens the opposite to Mekarshay? If you don't fight at Erev Shabbos, you send away the Yitzhahara of the Gari Yisrael, then the Jews get stronger. You strengthen the Jewish people over the other, the evil side. So it's amazing. Now we know what goes on. What's going on a little bit, so we understand. It's not worth it. There is a big Yitzhahara. We're not saying there's not a big Yitzhahara. We're explaining there is a big Yitzhahara, and it is there. But really, it's not the people doing it. There's this crazy Yitzhahara coming in. And this crazy Yitzhahara comes into the house. And if we overcome it, then we could present the great things and help Klai Yisrael break this Yitzhar. It's always like that. Before you get a big spirituality, you have to break the evil. You want to be exactly that big Shabbos, you got to break those Friday afternoon Yitzharas, Friday night, come home. This is right. The Benish Klai said also we learned, like, I think last week, he said the table's really supposed to be set. So if the table's not set when you come home, don't scream at your wife. It's good, it's true, it's nice, the table should be set. But if not, don't scream at your wife, he says. He said it's not worth it. That's all. Fine, that was Halacha Aleph. Fine, now, this, basically, in Halacha base, basically, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he says that the best place to do Kabbalah Shabbat is where?
In the field.
In the best place in the field. And if not, wherever you could do it is good. But he says also, he brings the meaning of that some people say, every time they say Boy Kala, they turn their head a different way. Right? Some people say Boy Kala to the right, Boy Kala to the left, and the last one they stand up straight. He brings that. But he says, the Ben Ishchai says, we say three times. But anyways, he says, fun, he says, Ruchai Vital doesn't bring this thing. He says, it's a minik. He says, it's a minik. It's a minik. What? The minik is, that he said, that's the minik. Fine. If you do that, the minik, Ruchai Vital doesn't bring it, that's the minik. Now, but we bring that is, yes, important, whoever needs to close their eyes from Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Boy Kala and the Psukim after. So let's see, with the end of the paragraph, basically says, Vida, you should know. Sheskirat ha'inayim be'et Kabbalat Shabbat, closing the eyes during the Kabbalah Shabbos, Hutzarach Gadol is a very necessary. V'yesh, right, with end of Halacha Beis, V'yesh v'leh Sod, there's a big secret, a very deep Kabbalistic secret. He doesn't tell us what, but he says, in closing your eyes, the entire Kabbalah Shabbos. Therefore, tariqli that we need to be careful. Just those people that they have to say Kabbalah Shabbat, they need to say it from the sitter. They're forced to open their eyes and to look inside. You can't make a macha against them. Like we say, just like by the Amidah, just like Shemana Esrei. Really, the best thing is to close your eyes. But we need to look at the sitter. You're allowed to look in the sitter. You can open your eyes to look. That's the only heter we had to open our eyes. Not to look all around, but to have to open our eyes to look at this. So here also he's saying, Apikabala, we should really close our eyes for the entire Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what he says. Starts off Apikabala. So now, we're going to go to Halacha Vav. Let's see Halacha Vav. Everything you bring that is important. I'm trying to bring out at least the practical halachas we need to know. I'm saying we have limited time. Halacha Vav. Chayav Adam lohasif mechol ala kodesh. Every person is obligated to add from the weekday on to Shabbos, if they accept Shabbos a little bit early. How long is that? Uzman tosefet said, this time of that you have to add, that we're chayav, you're required to add. Yesh bo kam esparot chalukot, there are different opinions. Yes, halachas you have to add. Okay, there are different opinions. Va'anachnu ein lanu ela divrei Rabbeinu Arizal. This is the Ben Ishchai always says, we only have that Arizal. That's the Ben Ishchai went by. Sha'amar, who says, Zeman Kabbalah Shabbat, who samach l'shkiyas l'melchama. He says, Kabbalah Shabbat is right next to Shkiyah. What's that supposed to mean? V'yur kabbalah Torah, tell him, Shachamah v'yur shayin l'anot, al shlish sha'a kodim kiyat mokrav, shakoy b'sof sha'ashtem esem amash. So he's saying that it's a third before the mukra. So do they say how long that is in your fancy Spanish chai? Right, so I forgot exactly what this time was, because the Mugrab was when they used to announce on their loudspeakers, the Arabs, when they used to announce the, when they used to start davening. So I forgot exactly what this thing is, but yes, I have, which is the end of the 12th hour. No, so I'm not sure exactly. Basically, there's a few shittas. Basically, there is one shita that holds even a minute of Tosefes Shabbos is good. There are other shittas who hold there should be a little more. There's different shittas. At least you should try to do at least 1 minute before Shkia or a little bit early. Putting the end. We're talking about here at the beginning. Before Shabbos starts, he's supposed to add on. No, there's a mitzvah that's both. He's supposed to add on both ends, beginning and end. But it could be it's not the rice, so it could be only it covers the rice. But basically, it's a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos, right? The mitzvah to add out the Shabbos. And there was someone who starts Kabbalah Shabbos, like right by Shkia, could be they're missing out this mitzvah of adding on to Shabbos.
Cool question. That's a
mitzvah then. Rav Shmuel, that's a good question. If someone's davening mincha, correct, it's very hard to accept early Shabbos. So therefore, a lot of shuls they do is their mincha will always end 2 or 3 minutes before Shkia. I mean, they'll do mincha, let's say, 22 minutes before Shkia. Mincha will take about 20 minutes. So at least you'll be able to add 2 minutes. Usually most shuls give you a little bit of time. That
20 minutes after Shkia, basically, because the 20 minutes after the bench, for mincha.
Yes, that's usually 20 minutes after, which is 20 minutes after candlelight is mincha on most shuls, which is 20 minutes before Shkia. And mincha doesn't usually take 20 minutes of Friday afternoon. There's no tachna. It usually takes, 17 minutes. Basically, okay. Therefore, in whatever, a few minutes, usually most shuls end up saying Kabbalah Shabbos a few minutes early. If you see your shul not doing it, so do it yourself. If you want to speed it up, you know, before you say Aleinu. Fine, so then they miss out. Nachon, they're just saying, people who daven mincha too late, and they don't accept Shabbos, they missed out this mitzvah of, they missed the mitzvah out. It's machlok, because we don't hold it. We hold it's the Rabbah. Fiyam Kippur, it's the right, so we hold it's the Rabbana. There's a machlok of the place, and we usually assume that it's the mitzvah drop. It's machlok. Okay, it's one of the mitzvahs. For sure, for Yom Kippur, we say we hold the Yom Kippur, we try to do. We're very careful on Yom Kippur, but Shabbos, we try to do it. It seems to be the Rabbanan, it seems to be.
So the preferred time for Mecca then is still remains later in the day?
You could have machlok, just the points to add a few minutes.
Or that depends on.
No, the main mitzvah is to do the main wheel that you could get a Shabbos even with 2 minutes before Shkia, you could get a Kabbalah Shabbos. So daven mincha regular, daven mincha with the regular shul when they daven, whatever they do. If they do it before, right before mincha, do it right before mincha. Some people like davening early mincha, 1 o'clock, fine, but you don't have to get this mitzvah. You could finish mincha 2 or 3 minutes before and get the basic shita of Tosefes Shabbos. Fine. Let's say Alach Zayin. Let's say I already accepted Shabbos. I did early Shabbos. My friend did not accept Shabbos yet. I made early Shabbos. Is he allowed to do Malacha for me? So me, Shemikabel Shabbat Meba Od Yom, Yuchal Lomar L'Chaver, he's allowed to tell his friend, Shelo Kibel Shabbat Adai, did not accept Shabbos. Lasod Elacha, he could work, he could do work. He brings that the Shita is Uchal, the Shri Machver. He's saying, for sure, for a mitzvah, V'ner, the Tzorach Mitzvah, Yesh L'Haka, V'lo L'Hachver, V'chein HaMinikwar. The minig is to be lenient, at least for a Tzorach Mitzvah, that we're lenient. If let's say, so I need something for a mitzvah, I need lights on in the shul, this and that. If I accept the Shabbos, and I want someone to turn up the flame for the food, turn down the flame, you know, then if I'm a mitzvah, for let's say eating food on Shabbos, different things, then you're allowed to ask another Jew to do Malacha if he didn't yet accept Shabbos. But let's see the next halach. Ches. Let's say, Imta Abba Arvit to Shabbat. Let's say I made a mistake in my event on Friday night. V'tchil tibil atchol, I started saying weekday davening. I started saying atchol la la tashivenu avinu v'nizkar v'etz bracha. I remember in the middle of a bracha, what do I do now? Do I stop or no? The halacha is gomer otar, finish that bracha v'yachzor l'mashra, then go back and start the Shabbos davening properly. Why? Because there's nothing wrong really with saying the weekday davening on Shabbos. We don't say it because it's going to be too much brachas. If I remember correctly, that's to me. We don't, but there's nothing really wrong with saying those brachas on Shabbos, right? If you said it already, finish it. Don't stop him at all. Don't make a half a bracha, bracha batal. It should be finish the bracha.
Go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei, or go back to the beginning of just that bracha?
The beginning of
Atah, whatever.
Yeah, at the beginning of brachas of Shabbos. You don't have to go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Now, this is a good regard. If it's been Meirith, is that the Yeshua Gam Shachrit Musaf? So Meirith, Shachrit Musaf, Meirith, Shachrit Mincha, you just finish your bracha and then you go back to Shabbos Davi. If you remember Hashivenu, finish it and then go back. However, what about Musaf, Alaim Ta'ab Musaf? Then you stop even in the middle of a bracha. Say a few words of bracha. Right? Because then in Musaf, it doesn't belong there. It's out of place to say the other brachas. You're trying to daven tefillas musaf now, right? Therefore, you're not supposed to be davening the other brachas now. Therefore, if emel musaf, you really are saying atachani, you stop mid bracha and you start back to the Shabbos davening.
Let's say I've done a while back. I did musaf for Chol Hamoed instead of Rosh Chodesh, for example. But still, in the beginning, I caught myself and looked up before. They're
both at the same place, they were similar, so it doesn't really matter at that point. Obviously, that is. Because, never mind. And seriously, Musaf, it could be very different Musafs. You have to realize, if whoever
it's
different,
you have to go back to that point. When I realized that I was
wrong, they were still similar.
They're still,
so it's good. So that's fine. Yeah, that's good. But if not, if you're saying, I was saying the wrong thing for Musaf first, right. You got away. Good. So, we said from that Rizal, interesting thing. But Arvit in Meir, right, we're supposed to have Yanuchu Ba, right? We say in the end of the last bracha, right? Yanuchu Ba, Kol Yisrael V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Said, but Meir we're supposed to have Yanuchu Ba. V'Shachrit you say Yanuchu Ba, and V'Mincha he doesn't say. But the Benik Hasidim is some people say used to say Ba also V'Mincha. He said then already they said Ba, which is I think Ashkenazim also say Friday night you say Yanuchu Ba. And Shabbos and in the morning you say Venuchu Bo, and by Mincha you say Bam. So some people don't realize the difference, but it's Babo Bam. That's according to Ben Shachai. Says some people have other men say Babo Bo. My son Ben Shachai says say Babo Bam. I think that's the meaning of by a lot of Siddurim say that. Ah, halacha test.
What's the din if you said the wrong thing? Is there
anyone? What, Babo Bam? I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's ma'aka. I mean,
you don't go back. No,
usually the halacha is by Shmona Esrei. As long as you said the right topic, even if you didn't say it exactly the perfect way, as long as you said the right topic, it's good enough. So I don't know for sure. I highly doubt it should be a problem if you said the wrong one. Let's hear the next halacha. Achat tefillat arvit. After we finish, Ma'ariv, Omrim, you say Vaychulu b'kol ram in a loud voice, Ma'omet standing up. Vafilo b'svala b'yachid chayv l'amro. Even someone who's not b'yachid has to say it. Why? She just sold amok to a very deep secret, Ba'amirat Shalosh Parit Vayichulu. That, in saying Vayichulu three times, we want to say one Vayichulu in davening Shmona Esrei, right? And then we want to say another Vayichulu right after, right? Right after Shmona Esrei, and then one in Kiddush. So a very deep secret, why you say Vayichulu three times. Ve'ein legram em afil b'yachay, you shouldn't lack one of them, even b'yachay, right? Some people say you're supposed to say it with two people, Vayichulu. Let's say I don't have two people right now. What should I do? Say it anyways. Right? We know some people many try to say it with two people. It's like Eidos. Let's say I can't. Say one. You know, we have to make sure to say it's important to say it. And it's interesting. Once I heard someone ask at Berkowitz if you could say it with your wife. So he said yes. He said if you didn't say Vechulu, say it with your wife. Yeah, that's what he said at Berkowitz. He said if you didn't say Vechulu with another person, say it with your wife. He said I didn't see why you're not. That's what he said. It's interesting. Fine. Yeah, anyway, this whole Eid is not real testimony. You can say it with your brother, you can say it. It's like a testimony. Fine. Now, we know after we say Vayichulu, we say a bracha, a mini Chazaras Nishas on Friday night, right? Called Me'ein Sheva. Right? Good? Now, comes the Ben Shachai and says, the main reason why we say it is not because of the Gemara in Shabbos says, because people come late in shul, you don't want to leave them. You used to daven in the field, and you leave them there, you're going to be alone, you're going to be scared to daven, so therefore you make a mini shmona esrei, don't give them time, right? Rather, it's a very, very deep secret of Api Kabbalah, and it's in place of Chazar Sashatz. Therefore, even if you're davening in a house where there's no Sefer Torah, let's say you're making chasna or aval, you still have to say Me'ein Sheva. That's what they should say. You should have any time you daven with a minion, you always have to say Me'ein Sheva. He said this from comes from the time of the Rashash. The Ma'is on this halacha, a lot of people argue. Even in Sfarad, they argue. They hold that you don't say, if it's not a Seshul, you do not say Me'ein Sheva. But the Ben Ishraim himself is strict. He says you do say it, but I think the custom, even by some Sfaradim, is not to say Me'ein Sheva. If it's not, even in some houses, let's say you make early Shabbos minyan, and they make it in a house every week, even if it's, still you do not say Me'ein Sheva. That's the regular custom by.
Worldwide, or is there special for
Yerushalayim? No, he's saying the minhag Yerushalayim was the Rishash said that they did not that they still yes said it. Mm-hmm. It seems like in general the world does not say it. The regular the minhag in the world, by Sfarad for sure, is not to say. I'm assuming Ashkenazim also, because he's saying the reason why, because the whole what's the pshat in that? If you're going with the pashup shop from the Gemara, the whole reason is because someone's going to get stuck in the field, someone's going to come late. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in my house, this whole thing's not in the gay. I'm in my house. We're all staying here. Everything's beautiful. So it's not relevant. Right? So that's one pshat. But he said that Kabbalah is a bigger reason why you say it. So according to Kabbalistic reason, I don't care where you are, it could be in your house, you still have to say it. So he said that Kabbalah, you always have to say it no matter what. So he's passing a Kabbalah, you always should say it.
If you don't say it, you just say
Vayichulu
and then go to
Elayim. Yeah, if you want to say Vayichulu, go to Elayim, yeah, and say whatever. Say Kaddish to Skabbalah, and then whatever, do whatever you take on your way, just skip the Me'ein Sheva. Good. Now, Halacha Yud'al. After you finish davening, go home right away and do kiddush. Don't stand around. It's not time to make your chavrusa. It's not time to sit around and shmooze. Go right away and make kiddush. Right, and right after kiddush, you should wash your tzilat yadayim like the halacha. Obviously, now he says if the minhag was, they used to say that the tehillim is mo'ala David, Hashem le'achzar, after they wash before the minhag ma'asi. Some people have that minhag. Some rachas have that minhag. Now, why should I say that mizmor? Because in that mizmor, right, in that chapter, it has 57 words, which is zan, right? And it's a school that a person should not lose out their mizonis; they should not lose their sustenance. So it comes for the rishash. So he says, "I will say before until time. If you say it after until time, you can't say anything to them." So also, before you wash until time, you should say this. L'shem yichud kasher yichud shchinte. Areni bal kai mitzvah aser d'rabanan. I'm coming to do mitzvah say. To write to wash my hands, etc. Right. It's fine, bring out all the this L'shem Yichud, which you can say, some people could say, before you wash your hands, all these things. Let's say Halacha, Yud Beis. Right, you bring that a whole text of L'shem Yichud, you should say, before you wash your hands. Let's say Halacha, Yud Beis. So he says, V'Shabbat on Shabbos, the Arizal says you have to wash your hands standing. You can't have a pikabalah. The Arizal says you shouldn't have someone bring you the basin and wash your hands while you're sitting down. Make sure the washing should be standing. Also, the bracha and the drying of the hands also should be standing. He said, Mani says also, not only until the time of eating, only until the time you do, even in the morning when you wake up at Shabbos morning, should also be standing. The bracha, everything should also be standing. So look at the different svarim that give it the reasons for it. Some people say even on Yom Tov, you say you should do that. Fine. So but Havad Ben Chai says, for me it's impossible to do it because the time of Shachar standing. So whoever could do this, it's very nice, but for me, it's impossible to do it standing. It's interesting because usually the Apizor, Apikabala, you're not supposed to stand. But the Apikabala, you're supposed to wash this time by your bed before our feet even touch the ground. Right? So it's interesting. But here they say for the Shabbos, there's an Indian not to worry about that. They used to dafka try to wash their hands standing. But Shai said he personally couldn't do it. But he's saying whoever could do it, they should get bracha on them. It's interesting because during the week, we don't want you to stand. So specifically, wash hands before you put your feet on the floor. Wash your hands while you're still in bed with your feet dangling from the side. Go and wash your hands either while you're still laying down, however you could do it. It's very important to wash your hands dying by your bed. Okay. Oh, so now he throws in the halacha how to wash your hands before washing bread. Because she told you that when someone washed their hands before a meal, they should take the kli in their right hand and give it to you. This is always by the tzitzit dying. Even though which hand are we washing first? We're asked to write it. So usually naturally, which hand would you pick it up with? So you would pick it up with the left. That's what automatically you do if I'm washing my right hand. I said, no, the halacha is, first give to pick it up with the right, then hand it to the left, and then wash with your left. Why? Because, so he says you always want the right to overcome the left. If you're going to pick it up with your left hand, it seems like the left is giving to the right. You don't want the left to ever give to the right. The right should always be the one giving to the left. You want the left side to be strong. Good. Now he said, of course, here he says, also wash each hand three times. Pick up with your right hand, give it to your left hand, wash three times with this hand. Right? One, two, three, three in a row, and then three on the other hand. Fine. This is the system how Pekabal used to wash their hands. Do shift three times. Fine. Basically, you just wash your hands until it's a dime. It's important to pick up the cup with your right hand and hand it to your left hand. Let's say, Allah, you down. After you finish washing, it's not your dime. Lift your hands, connect your shoulder up to where? To your head. Half far, shift my hands up to my head. And make a bracha right away. Because you shouldn't lift your hands for nothing. Because instead of the Zohar, it's very bad for people who lift their hands for nothing. Especially in tefillah. Lift in the tefillah, you have to be worthy of it. So you shouldn't lift your hands. So he's saying over here, lift your hands and make the bracha. Don't just lift your hands and put them down. It's very high, obviously. We think lifting your hands is nothing. Garnachot says, when a Jew goes like this, all the world shifts. We go like this, all the upper world shifts. We don't know how powerful we are. He's saying, don't lift your hands. We say, I lifted my hands for nothing. He's saying, no. If you lifted your hands, make sure to make the bracha when they're there. Don't take down. Lift your hands, make the bracha. You see how special we are. So we lift our hands, how important it is. So therefore, don't make sure you didn't lift your hands for nothing. Right? So also, separate your 10 fingers. Spread them out in order to get the shefa of the 10 types of shefa. Right? Like we know from the Pali Vitei Lechalokim, right?
Should your palms be upward? You went like this, that's
what I was wondering. So spread them out. So when your hands are standing up, spread them out in a way that they should have like 10 fingers. It still looks like this. Still. You want to bring in all kinds of good stuff, all kinds of good bracha. When?
It says you should think of it too,
they're saying that in order to bring down, right, the Shavim wanted to bring down the from a very hard the Mochim the Shefa. Bring down the Shefa.
On you, should bring down on you the spots of the Shefa.
It should bring down all the Shefa on you. Good. Now let's hear Lacha Tazbach. How? Fine, we said, of course, you need to make, after it's not, you make Hamaitzi. Right, make a Bracha Hamaitzi. What's that say, Lacha Tazbach? Tariq Latwa Ashteki Karat. You have to make a Bracha on two breads. They have to be full, they have to be whole, right? They can't be broken breads. Because it says Lacha Mishnah, just like by the Monday, God, double portion on Friday. So to remind us Lacha Mishnah, to remind us the Lacha Mishnah, when we make Lacha Mishnah, we make our two breads. Said also woman. What about our woman? Do woman is like Lacha Mishnah? Say woman is eating shal shir. Said home. Yes. Women also the gam hanashim imachlim levadam chayvim gam kibush tikkun. Usually the head of the house has Lacha Mishnah. You get it from his breads. But women also yes need to do Lacha Mishnah, like I said in the place. However, according to Arizal, you should have 12 breads, like it says in the picture over here, right? Like two cycles, right? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, like it shows in the picture of Api Kabbalah, right? You should have 12 breads. This is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and then double each one. One bread on top of another. Right? You see the picture? So how do you get 12? Because what? Nachal, because there's two on top of each other. You don't see the picture. In each scenario, in each one, there's two. There's one, right? There's two breads on each pile. Each the six stack. It's really 12 breads up in Kabbalah. It's nice to have 12
for each meal.
For each meal.
Wait, 12 for each meal?
12 breads. That's how you, when you make Lacha Mishnah, make 12 like this. Set them up like this. Fine, if you can do it Friday night, make a lot of rolls and eat them throughout all the meals, that's also good. That's a Bikabola. You don't have to do it. You could, it's easy for some people to do it Friday night at least.
I
to do one. What? Two. You don't have to pick up all 12. You pick up two of them. I don't think you have to pick up all, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if you have to pick up all 12 of them. But you're making on two of them to have them there at least. Fine. Good. Fine. So let's just see important halacha. What does it say? Fine. So halacha yudayin says when the lady sets up the challah, she put one mat under, one mat on top, right? Like lechem is like the mun, right? Put one thing on bottom, one thing on top, like a table on the bottom, a table on top. It's like the mun came packaged, pre-packaged. The challah is also, since they're to remind us of the mun, they shall also come. They shall also come packaged. Halacha yudayin, it says, let's say someone missed one suda. For example, let's say Friday night they didn't eat a suda for something. They weren't feeling well. Or let's say Shabbos morning they went to sleep and they woke up. They did amasikin. They ate a little cake. They went to sleep. They woke up Shabbos afternoon. So what do? You have to eat. You can make up sudas. You can make it up. There's such a thing as making up sudas. Right? Someone who couldn't eat one suda, let's say the first night, eat three sudas during the daytime. Right? You should eat three sudas during the day.
Halacha
is yeah, hashlama. It's hashlama. You're supposed to be mashlami. If you miss a suda, every person is supposed to eat three sudas every Shabbos. If you miss one, you're supposed to make it up. For whatever reason, you missed one suda, you have to make it up. Let's say Friday night you didn't eat a suda, so it wasn't feeling well, whatever. Then during the daytime, you're supposed to eat three meals.
What's a tikkun if you only wash on one bread?
What?
If you only wash on a pita bread, or something, you only have one.
Fine, if you only have one, but the avid, it's good. If you don't have lechem mishnah, you're supposed to have lechem mishnah. You don't. I say there are options. If you have a rye bread in your freezer, if it's really the Rosh Hashanah, Shmini Shabbos, nothing brings. Let's say you don't have another whole bread for Shabbos Shodes, but you have a loaf of rye bread which is really cut up already. Right, Shmini Shabbos says if it's still whole in the bag like that, it's considered a shalim. So the Chiddush, he said you could still use it, and that's still called lechem mishnah. That's what the Hebrew Shmini Shabbos Chasa brings down. You could still use a whole loaf of bread. Well, okay, usually my neighbors come knocking on the door. You're knocking on your neighbor's door to get lechem mishnah. But no, if you can, if it's not going to be shki, you try to get lechem mishnah. If you can't, you can't. So it's not b'diavad. If you don't have lechem mishnah, then it's fine. Fine, Baruch Hashem. We'll stop here. We'll get a lot of lechem. Fine, Baruch Hashem. Shkayach.